Welcome to Make More Money Without Selling Your Soul with me, Polly Leverello, Evergreen Marketing Expert. This podcast is for you if you are an online entrepreneur who's looking to simplify their business to scale. On this podcast, you can expect to hear regular talk about wealth, about selling, and about well-being, because I believe these three core fundamental things are pivotal to your growth moving forward. Hello and welcome to Make More Money Without Selling Your Soul with myself, Polly Leverello, Evergreen Marketing Expert and Cushy Business Pioneer. And today I'm talking to you about getting married for the second time. So no, I am not dishing business advice on this episode. If you'd like more of that, I encourage you to go back to some of my old episodes and get stuck in to those. This one is more of a personal one. I'm a big believer in sharing a bit about the human being behind the business. I think sometimes I'm so in delivery and supporting you mode that I don't really often touch on who I am and I guess my own life's challenges and joys. And obviously one of the premises that I share as to what this podcast is about is well-being. And one of the things that's keeping me very well and occasionally stressed this year is getting married. And it's one of the questions I've been getting quite a lot on social media, particularly from those who are in my mastermind or who, you know, have been private clients. They've been reaching out to me to kind of say, share more on getting married. We want to hear all about it. And I've generally speaking, you know, there's a certain narrative I've been happy to share publicly about my situation, like the fact that I was a single mom, that I was on benefits, that we were living in a tiny flat, that I moved countries with my children when they were very small, back from Gibraltar. I'd been living there for 8 years. I did grow up in Brighton, but I'd been living in Gibraltar for 8 years when I moved back with my children. It's a whole big thing. So there's certain things I've shared, and obviously about my partner, Mike, who's a forest school teacher. He and I met because he was working, still is working, at the nursery where my son used to go. So I kind of fell in love with how he was with my children. And before I even considered dating him, I don't think I could have probably even imagined falling in love with anyone with my children that age who couldn't have been good with my children. But to be honest with you, when I met him, I wasn't even planning on meeting anyone, and you know, romance hadn't really crossed my mind. I was still in the thick of post-separation. So some people are aware that I have a forest school partner. They're aware that one of the things we did after COVID, after he cared for me and after the nursery shut and he had to take time off, one of the things that happened was we decided he would no longer be full-time, that he'd go down to working one half day a week, and that I would be the full-time business owner, because in the time that he was off and in the time that I stopped being part-time because I was so busy caring for my children and instead gave full-time attention to my business, we very quickly recognized the money I could generate in 1 month was already more than what he could generate in a year. So that made it a pretty easy decision. It also enabled us to move out of that little flat for me to get myself off benefits and move us into a house. So those are that's the narrative that most people know so far. Beyond that, I've been relatively guarded. I think partly because when I married my ex-husband, he and I met when we were both very young. I was 23 and he was 21, just turned 22. And we were in that day and age of everything, and I mean everything, being shared on social media. So when I moved to Gibraltar, I see old statuses where I'm like, I'm bored tonight. Who wants to talk? Like, nobody does that. Well, I mean, I say nobody does that anymore. I certainly don't do things like that anymore. I don't live my life on social media like I did back then. But it essentially means that entire relationship has been documented from the moment I met him to the flirty exchanges on each other's walls, to me moving to Gibraltar and sharing album upon album of all our adventures to different cities. Everyone felt very firmly entrenched in that relationship. You know, everyone felt like they really knew our life. And a lot of people looked at me living in this sunny country with this handsome man and thought I was living my very best life. We had a very romantic, very traditional wedding back in Kent in 2013. We did it close to my grandmother's house so that she could be there because she was in her mid-90s. there were so many elements about all of that which felt really perfect at the time. And then it all just went wrong. I mean, essentially, like so many people we met in our early 20s, we had absolutely no challenges whatsoever, really, aside from, you know, lifing occasionally. But when we had children, it really revealed the cracks. It really revealed essentially that because life had been easy so far, we'd never really had to pull together in the way that parenthood forces you to. And in where we needed to pull together, it really highlighted how far we were actually apart, which is why it only took till my son was 18 months for me to ask for a separation. He's a really good man. We're on really good terms, which is also, again, why I guess I'm relatively guarded, because I would never want to share anything that he would find too much. Gosh, I'm sharing a lot today, but I, you know, like I say, I'm very guarded and mindful of anything I share to do with my separation with him to be one where I'm being discreet and respectful towards what, you know, what was a sensitive time for each of us. It wasn't an easy time on either side, as you can probably imagine. As our mediator said at the time, nobody wins in divorce. But anyway, we've got a very good ongoing relationship. But it did feel strange to be proposed to last year. Even though it was something I very much wanted, even though my divorce went through, my divorce ironically only went through last year, but I'd been separated for 5 years, I think. 2017 is when I asked for the separation, and we got engaged in 2023. So yeah, I'd been separated for 5 years. Gosh, like my head, I was like, that's a long time. I'm like, oh, no, 6 years, separated 6 years. That sounds better. And being in the UK for 5 years. I mean, as I even share this out loud, it does feel kind of soon. But at the same time, anyone who's fallen in love in their 30s will know that it's like timelines collapse. You know, when you fall in love when you're in your 30s, you are much more confident about who you are. You're much more confident about what you need. And as a single mum falling in love, like when someone takes that on, they're taking on a package deal. You're not wondering what your future will look like. You're literally stepping in to your future. There's no question of, oh, one day, I wonder what it would look like to have children. No, you're coming in to the full kit and caboodle. So, you know, there was never like, it was very odd dating as a single parent, kind of recognizing that kind of romance and that kind of easygoingness just isn't there. There's a real intensity to dating as a single parent, which is really hard to ignore, particularly when I have such small children. And so I didn't want anyone coming into our world, particularly after everything they'd been through, unless they were for keeps. So it's been a real journey being engaged again. There were certain things I did, like I didn't want a diamond ring. I did some research around what stone I did want. I originally thought I wanted emerald, but then I realized sapphire, you can get green sapphires. And that was a game changer for me because I liked how modern yet kind of timeless they were all at the same time. So there've been a few, everything has, I've attempted to do a little bit differently because I don't want the day to feel similar. And actually, I feel like we've achieved that. I feel like we've achieved that so far. But I guess what I would share, because I know there are a few single mums in my listeners, and I know there are a few people who are inspired and motivated by my journey and have questions about all of these pieces and how it drops in and how it feels. And I guess so much of me would love to pretend that it's easy and that it's all just, you know, this fresh, new, exciting kind of energy. But the truth is, it brought up a lot that still needed to be healed. It brought up ties that needed to be cut still. It was one of those odd situations that pretty much around the same time I told, not even pretty much, at the same time I told my family about being engaged, I equally told my ex-husband because I didn't want him to hear it about it from anyone that wasn't me. Things like that felt weird, you know, that sense of even though he's my ex-husband, I often like talk about my ex-husband almost like cousins or, you know, like essentially, even though we're not married, he's still my family because he's the father of my children. And so there's never going to be a moment where we're not kind of somehow intertwined. And so that did feel strange. It felt strange standing in front of my ex-husband wearing an engagement ring that wasn't from him. It felt weird him asking me how the wedding plans were coming along. The stuff that just, you know, I guess some people talk about things like everything is always done and dusted and then everything is always good. And I think it's okay to refer to life as some things feeling like the messy middle. What I would say is that I've had to be very gentle on myself. I've had to be very aware of feelings that were coming up, the majority of which were steeped in guilt, almost like survivor's guilt. You know, that sense of, you know, I'm so happy and I have all of this, and almost feeling guilty that I found this level of happiness, which I didn't, to be honest with you. Obviously, when I walked away from a relationship, I never did it with a view to being happy with someone else again. I did it with a view to trying to protect my own happiness. But yeah, this is like a waffly episode. So I think that's all I'm going to share. I guess the most important takeaway from all of this is I'm very happy. And no, it's not been simple. Yes, there's definitely been the need to slow down, to listen to myself, where I have done things like, we better not do things too big, we better not be too showy, or we better do things nicely, but not too nicely. I've had to slow down and listen to, is this me doing second wedding, I'm willing to be chill? Or is this me doing, this is second wedding and I'm feeling a bit guilty and I don't want to do too much again? Like, there were things like, I was almost not going to have a wedding gift list because I felt guilty to have the same guests coming and buying me a wedding gift for a second time. Like, nobody ever plans on that. And at the same time, recognizing for my husband to be, it's his first ever wedding. So of course there are guests coming who want to give us gifts. And even those who've been to my first wedding who equally also want to, you know, wish us well because they see how amazing he is to me and my family and are excited for us. So there's been a lot of essentially fear of judgment that I've had to drop. Fear of judgment, guilt towards my ex, like various things, which, by the way, when I say guilt towards my ex, that is entirely self-induced. He's been really good the whole entire time. He's not done anything to make me feel bad. He's actually been very encouraging and supportive. It's all been me. It's all been that stuff. But I guess, yeah, that's the reality of it. Anyway, the good news is I started off feeling very guilty. I started off really toning things down. We have gradually amped things up and we are now in March and our wedding is in July and I couldn't be more excited. And if you are similarly a single parent in a position thinking about getting married again, I'm a big fan. And I guess I'll tell you more on the other side, but what I would say is do what makes you happy. You only have one life. And that's certainly been the prevailing thought behind what's happened for me. I've lost so many loved ones since my original marriage. And it's a real reminder that being in a room with people you care about most and celebrating love, what better excuse for a celebration is that? So there we have it. That's a personal one for me. I shall be back in your ears next week talking about the perfect lead magnet to make more sales with. See you then.